Gentlemen, and company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, Caroline Fenton. I don't know if you were here. In fact, I know you weren't. But it is a running story, one of many of the Jared and the GM Stillman and Company program. But at one point, about a year ago, my fire alarm went off in my house. And I had no ladder to check the smoke detectors. And boy, did I get hammered for not having a ladder. Really by Porth. And I think he let it. And then everybody else just piled on.
I do remember that because I think it happened like a week before I was starting. And Ryan sent me a clip of the segment and was like, you need to listen to this because this is quality radio.
Yeah.
That segment and then the segment of you just crying about not putting money on Oregon State. Against Tennessee in the NCAA tournament. Those were the two that he sent me.
So I bought a ladder, but it's been in my garage the whole time. Have not used the ladder. Got home from the show yesterday. I heard a little beep. You know, the smoke detector saying, hey, batteries. Let me tell you something. It was quite the experience last night and this morning trying to figure out how to use the ladder, how to safely not fall off the ladder, and to change the battery in the smoke detector, because as you have well seen, Caroline Fenton, the smoke detectors at my house are
30 feet
ridiculous
in the air.
It's awful. But somehow, some way, I did it. So for everybody out there that cared about that, there you go. So I want to start on this today, which is really interesting, right? Like when you see somebody, like you go to a resort or you go to like a nice city and you see somebody there. And they're just, you know, an old guy and they got all kinds of money and they're driving a Lamborghini and they just have the most beautiful 24-year-old girlfriend. Do you ever ask yourself what she sees in him and what he sees in her? I don't. I think we all know. Jeff Bezos has billions and billions and billions of dollars. He can do whatever he wants. He can go up into space and he can... Do you ever wonder when you see those photos, those paparazzi pics of him out on a lily pad on the yacht and there's like four babes? Do you ever wonder why he's doing that? Do you ever wonder why they're hanging out with him?
I think we all know pretty well.
I don't. When you go out and hire somebody, usually there's a reason for it. And you'll say, hey, this person, they're great. This, they're this, a great personality. They're the what? When we hired Caroline Fenton, we needed to get our digital operations off the ground. We really needed somebody who knew what they did. Caroline worked at ESPN. If Caroline had been doing digital in Peoria, Illinois, Ryan Porth may not have recognized her resume. But when you saw ESPN and digital, it was like, okay, this might be somebody we're looking for. And Caroline's done a great job.
Thank you.
So when the Titans hired Mike Vrabel, we can talk about whatever you want when it comes to describing what kind of coach Mike Vrabel is, what kind of guy you thought Mike Vrabel was. But the reality is, and Titan fans sometimes hate when I say this, you hired Mike Vrabel for the same reason that Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt. Because you can't get the guy, so you want a guy from the guy. You wanted a Belichick guy. Now, he wasn't a Belichick coach, but he played in New England, and you wanted that. You wanted to tap into that secret sauce, that winning, just like Georgia did when they hired Kirby Smart, just like Florida did when they hired Will Muschamp, just like Tennessee did when they hired Jeremy Pruitt. So the Titans are getting ready to go up against this great offense with Joe Burrow. And everybody on TV, Joe Burrow is the next Tom Brady, Rex Ryan said. And they're talking about Joe Burrow this morning on TV. They take him over Josh Allen. Who's the best quarterback under 26? Two of the three said Burrow, one said Allen. Unbelievable. Joe Burrow's great. Those wide receivers for Cincinnati are awesome. And that's why they're in the playoffs. But I think it's funny. Because I listen to people that say, that Titans defense, they'll have their work cut out for them. And it's going to be hard for the Titans. And I don't know, how are they going to stop these receivers and Joe Burrow? And I just thought, do we know who coaches the Titans? Do we know what this man's track record is? Do we know why they hired him? Do you think they hired Mike Vrabel because he was the leader of the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL while being the coordinator of the Houston Texans? I don't. They hired him because of the player he was, the team he played for, the captain he was in New England. They didn't hire him because he was a great defensive line coach at Ohio State. Guess what? Mike Vrabel's paid off. And this week is another opportunity for him to do exactly what he did as a player and what he's done for the most part as a coach. Let's go back to Mike Vrabel as a player, playing high-powered elite offenses in the playoffs. 2001, in the divisional round, the Patriots played the Oakland Raiders. They were fourth in points that year. They averaged 25 a game. They had Rich Gannon at quarterback, and they had Tim Brown and Jerry Rice at wide receiver. And guess where both of those guys are now? Canton. Averaging 25, they held him to 13. In the Super Bowl, Mike Vrabel, greatest show on turf in the Rams. Number one in the league in points. Averaging 31 a game. Held to 17. 2003, they played co-MVP Steve McNair and the Tennessee Titans in the divisional round of the playoffs. Fifth in points were those Titans. They averaged 27 a game. Held them to 14. The next week, they played the other co-MVP, Peyton Manning, second in points, averaging 28 a game, held to 14. And a year later, they played Peyton Manning in the AFC divisional round, first in points, averaging 32.6 a game, held to 3. That's what Vrabel did as a player. What about as a coach? His first year with the Titans, Tom Brady and the Patriots, the eventual Super Bowl champions at Nissan Stadium in the regular season, fourth in points. They averaged 27 a game, held to 10. Remember the divisional round 2 years ago against the Ravens? Remember how good Lamar Jackson was 2 years ago? He was league MVP. They were 14-2. Everything everybody's saying about Joe Burrow right now in his second year, which is well-deserved, and Joe Burrow is a great quarterback, but everything they're saying about Joe Burrow right now, they said about Lamar Jackson. First in points in the NFL, they averaged 33 a game, held to 12. So when they play the best offenses and the MVPs and the Lamar Jacksons and Peyton Mannings and Steve McNairs, and Vrabel usually does pretty well. Now, he got blown out by Aaron Rodgers in the snow last year on the road, and he got beat by Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. But again, when Vrabel was a player, they got home playoff games. Number one seeds. That Raiders team in 2001 that they held to 13 points, that was in a snowstorm. Why? Because they had home field in New England. As the head coach of the Titans, Mike Vrabel is 2-0 against Tom Brady. He's 2-1 against Patrick Mahomes. He's 2-2 against Josh Allen, but he lost two games to the bad Josh Allen. He's won the last two, this year and last year, against the good Josh Allen. He's 2-1 against Lamar Jackson. He beat Brady in the playoffs. He beat Lamar in the playoffs. And I'm not here to knock on Joe Burrow, because I think Joe Burrow's great. And I think Joe Burrow is a threat. But Mike Vrabel's entire tenure, as a player, and now as a coach, everything that he's done is bring in the high-powered offense, bring in the league MVPs, bring in the guys that are headed to Canton, and they'll hold them to 14, 17, 3. They'll hold them. Even this year against the Chiefs, fourth in points for the season, they averaged 28, held to 3 at Nissan Stadium. I watch all the shows. People talk about, well, can the Titans' defense slow down Joe Burrow, or is Derrick Henry going to be enough? And I keep wondering, why don't we ever look back at Mike Vrabel's history? Why'd you hire Mike Vrabel? Why'd you hire him to be the head coach? You hired him because you wanted what he was in New England as a player. And for the most part, you've gotten it out of him. When he was a player, guess who they beat in the playoffs en route to the Super Bowl? They beat Rich Gannon and Kurt Warner, Steve McNair and Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning and 15-1 Ben Roethlisberger. They lost to Jake Plummer, Peyton on the road, and Eli Manning in the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that every bad quarterback Vrabel will play, they'll lose. But I'm just telling you, There's something about Mike Vrabel. Why you hired him? Because of the player he was, not the college coach, not the linebacker coach with the Texans, not the defensive coordinator, the player he was when John Robinson was in New England and worked and saw Vrabel. That's why you hired him. And guess what? You get a test like that this week, and if you survive this week, then you go to next week. But I turn on all the TVs, and I hear all the shows, and I hear our shows and what everybody's saying, and I don't hear anybody that's looking at Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, eighth, by the way, in points, all these other teams, fourth, first, fifth, second, first, fourth, they're eighth. Excuse me, seventh in points. They're good. But let's not rule out Mike Vrabel. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. It is amazing when you look at some of these offenses. Vrabel as a coach, Vrabel as a player, averaging 38 points a game, held to 17. You hold Cincinnati to 14 on Saturday, you win. So let's keep that in mind. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. I know what the game plan is, or I think I know what Vrabel's game plan is. That message he wouldn't share with TD, I think, using his history, I figured it out. We'll get to that next. First, though, Caroline wants to tell you about her friends over at Caesar Sportsbook. I guess it's time for the daily Caroline Fenton Caesar Sportsbook update.
That is right. All right, people, it is time for the Caroline Fenton Caesars Sportsbook report. Now, before we do any of this, make sure that you download the Caesars Sportsbook app. It is my favorite sportsbook app, so make sure that you go in there and download it. So before we get underway, download the Caesar Sportsbook app, of course, and they will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001. Win or lose, just use promo code RADIORF. RADIORF, one word, just use that promo code, and they will match your bet up to $1,001. Now, we looked at some Super Bowl shifts yesterday. The Bills now at plus 500. They were plus 850 before this past week, but the biggest shift that we saw, can you guess? The Rams. The Rams were plus 1,200 before Monday night. They are now sitting at plus 750. Super Bowl in LA could be another back-to-back Super Bowl team playing in their hometown. So if you feel good about the Rams, they have pretty good odds right now, and the sports books feel good about it. So do that with the Caesars Sportsbook. Must be 21, offer valid in Tennessee only, new users and first qualifying wager only, paid in bet credit. Credit must be used within 7 days of receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Download it, people.
There you go. Boy, I tell you what, Vrabel did not want any part of that question, and I thought a great deflection on his part. And good job by TD being like, hey, TD,
you're not doing anything for
me. TD's articles. Don't be. So our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Somebody texted in and said, enough Patriots. They were losers pre-Brady and now post-Brady. It's about Brady, not the Patriots. Not just the Patriots, but Vrabel's whole package. Guys, if you think the Tennessee Titans didn't hire Mike Vrabel because he was on the Patriots and the career that he had with the Patriots, then you do not get reality. John Robinson is the general manager of the Titans. He made the call to fire Mike Mularkey, and he made the call to hire Mike Vrabel. And as I said at the time in 2018 when it happened, I kind of want to know. Titans went to Foxborough. The owner, Amy Adams Strunk, had put all the chips behind Mike Mularkey. He's our coach going forward after they beat Kansas City. Then all of a sudden, they lose to New England. Mularkey's out. Then, 3 weeks later, Josh McDaniels decides not to go to Indianapolis. And their second choice, the other guy they interviewed for the job, Mike Vrabel. I would love to know, did somebody say something to John when he was in New England that, hey, if you don't go get Vrabel now, he's going to the Colts? And how did John know Vrabel? Because they were together,
the Patriots,
in New England. So when you sit there and you tell me like, oh yeah, I don't want to hear about the Patriots. I don't. That's why Vrabel got hired. Not because he was a good special teamer for Bill Cowher in Pittsburgh. Not because he was a defensive line coach that Urban Meyer said gave the worst interview in the history of college football. But because of what he did with the Patriots. I need us all to just to admit that if we can.
Which doesn't surprise me that he was the worst interview.
Well, yeah, man. But it's important when it comes to thinking about why the Titans are the way they are. Now, look, I get it. You love Vrabel for what he's done for the Titans. He's going to be coach of the year this year. That's fine. But think about where he came from. And in that clip with TD, that little back and forth interaction about, I'll figure out what the message is during the week. And Vrabel knows what the message is. He probably already gave it to him. We talked about that yesterday. Then it hit me. Floyd used to always talk about this. Remember the greatest show on turf?
Mm-hmm.
The team I brought up, number one in points. They averaged 31 points a game. They held them to 17 in the Super Bowl. And everybody was like, how did this Patriots team hold Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and all those guys, Azakim, Yo Murphy, Ricky Prohl, Marshall Faulk, how did they hold them to 17 points? And Floyd used to tell me, Bill told him all they did. There wasn't any crazy scheme. There wasn't any. All they did was hit the wide receivers. That everybody that had played them, let them get a free release. And that Belichick said, we're going to hit them. We're going to hit the wide receivers. We're going to be physical with them. So I'm watching Man in the Arena, the Tom Brady docuseries. And when you're doing a blast from the past, you can be more open. You know, then, oh, we're getting ready to play this week. Willie McGinnis is on TV, so it doesn't matter what he says. So he doesn't have to worry about who he might offend or things like that. He just tells what he says. Willie McGinnis, going back to that Super Bowl against those Rams, this was the game plan.
This time, I was focused. I didn't care about nothing that was going on. I was ready to go. All I wanted to do was focus on the game, focus on the Rams. I didn't care about nothing else. Our goal was to be as physical as possible. Hit anything moving. Anything moving, anything across your face, you was getting hit. We knew if we can turn it into that game, we had a shot.
Hit anything that moved. Wide receivers, running backs, you name it. By the way, New England had a touchdown taken off the board because Willie McGinnis tackled Marshall Faulk away from the play. But that was the game plan, and it worked. 2 years later, Rodney Harrison wasn't on that first Super Bowl team, but he was on the second one. They had to play Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, who had scored 41 points in the first game against Denver, 38 points against Kansas City on the road. Did not punt in the divisional round or in the wild card round. They had to play him. What was the game plan that week, Rodney?
We went out there, man. We beat those receivers up. We grabbed them. We held them. We hit them. We made four interceptions. Forced fumbles. I mean, we played the game that we wanted to play.
Is that not the game plan this week? You look at those teams. Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Marcus Pollard, Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. Now look, Mixon's a good running back. Chase is a bad boy. No doubt about it. Higgins is fantastic. Boyd is a, you know, I mean, they're all great. They're good. Uzama, the tight end, is a great player. Don't you think that's the game plan this week? We know if the Titans don't get home on the rush, that the corners they have, whether it's Fulton or Jackrabbit or Screen or Molden, none of those corners can compete with these Bengals receivers. Fair?
That I would agree.
Okay. That's the game plan this week. They are going to just smack around those Bengal receivers. And here's why it's a good game plan. Because when that's the message, you only have to think about one thing. It's not, now, if this receiver cuts in, then you go out, then this guy gets in, and then all of a sudden it gets too complicated. Just hit the wide receivers. Everybody's worried about Chase. Because if he gets going, one, he can run like a deer, and two, he's as physical and can get up for any ball. So what do you do? Hit him. And guess what? The Legion of Boom, for all those years that they were good in Seattle, all they did was rough you up in the secondary. And their theory was, with Cam Chancellor and Sherman and Earl Thomas, their theory was, you won't throw the flag every play. It's the playoffs. And Jerome Boger's crew ain't working this week. So they're not going to throw the flag on every play on Saturday. And that's why I think this is the game plan. I think it is hit those receivers, hit the quarterback, and instead of worrying about stopping Joe Mixon in the running game, just hit the running back on the way to the quarterback. So the message is for the front four and the two linebackers, hit it, go hit the quarterback, and if he hands the ball to the running back, hit that. And for the DBs, it is get up on those guys and hit them and be physical with them, just like Vrabel's teams were when he was a player, because that's how you win when you can't keep up. Now, Ty Law, like those Patriot teams had good defensive players, but that's how you beat them. You literally turn it into a fist fight. And I don't know about you. I haven't watched a ton of Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati wants to play that way. So that's what I think the game plan is.
I mean, I think it has to be, because so much what we've talked about is, you know, this Tennessee defensive front versus this Cincinnati offensive line. And this offensive line is clearly very outmatched. I mean, this is a far superior defensive line to anything that the Cincinnati offensive line can be. So that seems like a simple game plan. But if Joe Burrow is able to escape, if this offensive line is able to protect him, then that ball's going 20 yards deep into the hands of Ja'Marr Chase. So it cannot just be this defensive line against Joe Burrow. It has to, you have to be physical.
You have to slow him down.
You have to be physical against every part of this offense, of the Cincinnati offense.
And if it moves,
it's
hit
not
it.
Just the quarterback.
If it moves, hit it.
That ball gets out quick.
Now, if you try to do that to Buffalo, you're gonna be in trouble. Like, you can't play that same game plan against the Bills. But you're not playing Buffalo this week. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I think that's the game plan. The same game plan that they used for the greatest show on turf, Rams, because that wasn't a physical team. The same game plan they used for Peyton's Colts, which we knew weren't physical. That's the game plan this week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of game plans and defense, we'll get to your thoughts on what do you think about the defense, the receivers, Vrabel. But there's one thing that you just brought up that everybody keeps talking about, that Trevor Maddich had an interesting opinion on, plus Chris Sanders later this hour. Stillman and Company, hey, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, those guys take fantastic care of my home, and I promise you that they can do the exact same for you. Been using Hiller for years. To help customers tackle necessary replacements, Hiller is extending their lower 2021 pricing through the end of January. This is the lowest pricing expected all year. You've noticed all the inventory shortages and empty shelves, and now there are serious shortages on equipment and products for your home. HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, and generators are going to be extremely limited in 2022. And because of supply issues and rising costs of parts, manufacturers are rapidly increasing the price of this equipment. If you need a replacement, call my friends at Hiller today. Don't wait until you are out of options. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or Services Free Guarantee. Learn more at happyhiller.com. Hiller, proud supporters of the Predators. You see the logo right there on the ice. Proud supporters of Vanderbilt. You saw the logo right there underneath the basket. And proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers. Call the Happy Face Truck today. There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. Did you expect Mike Vrabel to say, like, oh, no, the scheme is the most important element of a defense? And I'm not even sure Vrabel believes that, but he's definitely not going to say it.
So I don't think there's much that Mike Vrabel's really going to tell you.
No. So I've been looking through the text line, just combing over.
Uh-huh.
These people in the text line hate whenever I reference the fact that Vrabel's very clearly a New England Patriot.
And there's another texter that really hates The Greatest Show on Turf.
Why?
Well, maybe because The Greatest Show on Turf did beat the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so I'm telling you, so this is how you beat The Greatest Show on Turf. This will be the game plan this week.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I think it's so embarrassing. Sometimes I think, and I'm not using like the text line as a total representation of Titans fans, but I think sometimes Titans fans, and this week we've had some really, I mean, I haven't seen anybody that's just been out there, other than Chris Sanders, who will join us in a little bit, that's saying, like, oh, they're going to kill the Bengals, and oh, yeah, we're the best. You know, I haven't heard a lot of that, which is good. And yesterday, when it came to the Fairweather fandom stuff, like, a lot of people were like, yeah, they are Fairweather fans. But, I mean, it just gets up my craw with some of these Titan fans, and it's like, you mentioned the fact that Vrabel used to play for the Patriots, and it's like, No, he's a Titan. He is a Titan. And I'm like, I never remember when somebody mentioned the fact that Jeff Fisher was on the 85 Bears. I never remember like people being personally offended by it. Where it does feel like when you reference Vrabel as a Patriot, people get offended by it. That's why they hired the guy. That's why they hired him. And I think fans have a hard time with that. So
I think it goes back to our discussion about, like, is the Titans a Patriots organization?
And yeah, anybody who says no is a crybaby.
Well, if fans don't like that because they don't want to be any other organization other than the Titans.
You think if we went to Athens, Georgia, and we said, hey, is this football team essentially Alabama?
They would say, no, we're Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, hey, we saw 40 years of that. We saw 40 years, and now we see what you got. So it's funny because, like, I've always done this where you break down games, you break down playoff series in the other sports, basketball, hockey, baseball, and it's almost like people will sit there and say, well, Jared, what if they shut down A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry's not back to being Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill throws three interceptions, and Julio Jones hurts his hamstring again, then what?
Then you lose.
You lose. That's the end of it. You lose. So the Bengals allowed a league-high 51 sacks of Joe Burrow this year in 16 games because Burrow didn't play in the 17th game. A league-high 51 sacks. They have a backup right tackle. They've got Quentin Spain playing guard. Quentin Spain was the guard here the first year that Mike Vrabel was coach. They couldn't get rid of him fast enough. He's terrible. He's made a career for himself as an undrafted guy. Good for him, but he's not. 51 sacks. They've invested in wide receiver, high draft picks. They've invested in free agents on defense like Awuzie and Hendrickson and Reeder and Ogunjobi, who's not going to play because he's hurt. But they have not invested in the offensive line. And it's not very good. And the Titans have invested in the defensive line. Bud Dupree, high-priced free agent. DeNico Autry, day one free agent. Jeffrey Simmons, first-round pick. Harold Landry, a second-round pick, who they also traded a third-round pick in order to get. That's investing. They've invested a lot. So the question is, can the good Titans pass rush beat that terrible Bengals offensive line? Trevor Maddich, ESPN football analyst, was on our show yesterday. Former offensive lineman, played in the NFL playoffs, and he feels pretty matter-of-factly that the Titans will get to Joe Burrow on Saturday. Here's what he said.
Cincinnati won't stop that pass rush. I mean, Harold Landry, I think, will have his way with the right tackle. They've got an injury over there. Riley Reiff got hurt. Isaiah Prince is in, and he's really struggled. I think that Landry is just going to beat him. And Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best interior pass rushers in the NFL, is facing guard Quentin Spain. That guy's allowed a lot of pressure, like about 23, 24 pressures this year. And so those are two of the matchups that the Titans should win handily.
So he's saying, oh, yeah, Harold Landry's going to kill that backup right tackle, and Simmons is going to annihilate Quentin Spain. And since we've all seen Quentin Spain and we've all seen Simmons, I tend to agree with him. Well, guess what? If that happens, you win, right? Like, if that's what happens on Saturday, that you get to Joe Burrow and that he's constantly on the move and that he looks like Mahomes did here when you held them to 3 points, or he looks like Stafford did when you held them to 16 points, sacked him 5 times and forced 2 turnovers, including a pick six, you win. Game over. You win. And it's crazy. Because I was looking at the games that Bud Dupree didn't play compared to the games that Bud Dupree did play this year. When Bud Dupree didn't play, the Titans gave up 23 points a game. They gave up 18 when he did play. When he played, they played 5 playoff teams. When he didn't play, and I include Arizona and Seattle the first 2 games when Bud was still hurt, they played 2 playoff teams, Arizona and New England. They gave up 38 to Arizona, 36 to New England. If the pass rush gets home, you win. I'm convinced that it is that simple to me. If you take advantage of the worst offensive line in the NFL, you win. End of story. Now, maybe something crazy happens, like Henry fumbles the ball 4 times, but just based off of what we've seen really for the last 3 years, he's probably not going to do that. So I have a hard time seeing the Titans lose if the defensive line takes over the game, which is exactly what a lot of these teams that have won in the past, because people keep saying, what about these corners? You know, Jared, oh no, these receivers and these corners. And I asked you a question today. Who are the corners on the 2007 Giants?
I don't know.
2011 Giants.
Don't know.
Who were the corners on the Buccaneers last year?
I don't know.
Who cares? Like, who cares?
Well, I think that's a fair concern given the wide receivers that the Bengals do have.
Okay, but it's not like all those teams didn't have to play good wide receivers either. Tampa Bay had to play Devontae Adams last year. They had to play the Kansas City receivers in the Super Bowl. And you can't name one corner.
No, I can't.
That's my point.
But that doesn't mean that they're not going to be difficult to play against.
If the not if the pass rush gets there.
If the pass rush gets there, then
you win.
That makes your corner's job significantly
easier. It's over. You win. You win. You did not run the ball against the Rams. You barely passed the ball effectively against the Rams. And you smoked them. Why? Because the pass rush got there. That's what this is all about, people. This game. If the pass rush wins, and Trevor just said, former offensive lineman, he says they're going to win. If they win, Titans win. 615-737-1025. Let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you have in the text line?
One texter texts into the text line and says, I think you're right about that type of game plan. Just look at what the defense was doing to the Chiefs in Week 7 and the Rams in Week 9. The defense was so physical. They swarmed to the football, and they bothered the quarterback constantly.
Yeah, I think Vrabel, it would not surprise me if Vrabel was, like, a little worried going into this game just about the fact that, you know, if you tell them to be physical, there's a possibility that a guy thinks he's making a physical play and it ends up being a 15-yard penalty. Or you get a pass interference call at the wrong time, or, you know, these penalties that are essentially turnovers. And I think that would scare him. But I think that they look at this and think, hey, we have to hit everything. That's got to be their mindset. They've got to hit the wide receivers. They've got to make their day miserable. Let's say you hit Ja'Marr Chase every time the ball's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
How many pass interference flags are they going to throw? They're not going to throw one every time.
Probably not as many as there would be pass interference.
They're not going to throw the flag every time. The Legion of Boom did this for years. They held every play. They held every play. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, do you know what the difference is between the defense, as you were talking about, and the Titans defense? Is the Titans defense is not good compared to New England's defense.
So I was thinking about this. Like, the Titans don't have Richard Seymour. Mm-hmm. The Titans don't have Teddy Bruschi. And the Titans don't have Ty Law. But the Titans do have a better safety in Kevin Byard than Lawyer Malloy or Rodney Harrison. Different kind of safety, mm-hmm. but Byard's better. Like, Byard's a two-time All-Pro. So, they've got a better player there. I understand we want to talk about defensive linemen. Simmons, pretty good last time I checked. I think Autry is a great role player. Right now, if Harold Landry were to hit the market, he'd probably walk away with about $50 million. And Bud Dupree got 82 last year. Titans have a good defense.
Titans have a good defense.
Now, it's taken some time for it to grow, but they've got a good defense. Chris Sanders, boy, he had to take heard around Nashville. I wonder how many people have hit him up about his take on Friday that he wanted the Bengals. He wanted them. He thought they were the easiest matchup. Does he still feel that way? He will join us next. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go, Chris Sanders. He thinks the Titans would just smoke Cincinnati. And I think everybody's heard that by now. That take from Friday.
Probably so.
I think the Titans have heard it. I think they're praying the Bengals don't hear it. Because they can literally go into the locker room and say, hey guys, listen to what they're saying in Tennessee. This guy used to play for them. And as always, Chris Sanders joins us, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Hiller,
what I said.
And Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Chris Sanders, you think it's going to be a blowout on Saturday. Yes. Please explain.
I absolutely do. I mean, the way the Tennessee Titans are playing, they're playing great defense. And, you know, we got everybody back at the beginning of the season. A lot of guys are out, like Dupree and different guys like that. But, man, we are flying on all cylinders. We got Simmons, we got Landry, we got Autry, we got Byard playing outstanding. Man, I'm telling you, man, if the Tennessee Titans – just play their style of football and don't go outside their identity. Let's go get this thing and get this AFC championship and go to the Super Bowl.
So I believe a couple of things. The first thing I'm going to say that I believe is I believe that if Ryan Tannehill does not turn the football over, the Tennessee Titans will win on Saturday. He has not turned the football over, knock on wood, in his last three games after just a season of handing the ball to the other team. Are you a believer in Tannehill's ability on Saturday?
I mean, I really am. And the reason why I say I believe in him, I didn't believe in him at the beginning of the season, but now I believe in him now, is because he's playing with confidence. I mean, when you have a quarterback that's playing with confidence and is making the right reads and your offensive line and your receivers trust you, that's a recipe for success. And, I mean, I know he's thrown some bad interceptions, and I know he struggled a little bit at the beginning of the season, But he's playing football at the playing good football at the right time. Mike Vrabel always talks about this. J. Rob talks about this. You know, the whole Titans staff talks about this. It's about playing football at the right time, and the right time is now. And Tannehill is playing an outstanding job.
So I think outstanding is probably a little too strong for me.
Oh, he's
not
been playing great. Stop it.
I mean, now you just sound like a homer. I mean, like, Tannehill, he had a good game. He had a good game against the Texans.
Okay, okay,
you know, he had a good second half, best game of the season.
God.
Other than that, he's been fine. Had a horrible first half against San Francisco. Had a game where he didn't really have to do much against Miami.
God.
That was just kind of, hey, just take care of business against Miami. I do wonder this, though.
Yes.
I think the Titans are going to be as physical as they can be with the receivers of Cincinnati, because everybody keeps telling me about, you know, oh my goodness, these wide receivers versus these corners.
Yep.
And you played in the league, and I referenced
right.
some of the past things that Vrabel's old teammates in New England said when they would talk about playing Peyton Manning in the Colts or mm-hmm. playing the greatest show on turf. And they were like, yeah, we just hit the receivers. Anything that
right.
moved, we hit them. I think that's the game plan for Mixon and these receivers and Uzama, the tight end, on Sunday,
right.
on Saturday. What do you make of the difference between being physical and maybe the problems that the Titans could run into,
mm-hmm.
or maybe kind of the other way around? Because you've played against it.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to play physical. When I say physical, and a lot of times right now in the league, you can't really touch the receiver, so they can't really jam him at the line. When we're talking about physical, when Jamar Chase or Boyd or anybody who catches the football, you got to hit him. You got to put 8 or 9 hats on the ball and make sure that every time he catches the ball or even thinks about catching the ball, you got to be physical. But the one thing that Jamar Chase does is when he catches a curl or he catches a slant or he catches a hitch, he has the potential to take it to distance. So, you know, when they catch the ball, you got to spot tackle. You got to be physical. You got to make sure that every time those receivers touch the ball, they got to be physical. But the one thing that I'm kind of concerned about is Higgins. The reason why I'm concerned a little bit about Higgins is he can win the 50-50 jump balls. So we can't just say, okay, we got to hit the other guys. We got to make sure we knock those balls down when Joe Burrow tries to throw the ball up to Higgins.
What do you think of Joe Burrow? Chris Sanders is our guest. What do
yeah.
you think about Joe Burrow?
Man, he's a smart quarterback. And the reason why I say he's a smart quarterback is he lies with his eyes. When I say he lies with his eyes, is he kind of gets the safety thing and he's going this way and he comes back to the other side. And a lot of young quarterbacks don't do that because they're afraid of getting hit. You know, he runs good with his legs, he makes plays, and he extends the play to get the ball to his receiver. So that's the one thing I love about him, is he lies with his eyes and he extends the play and he makes the receivers around him better.
Derrick Henry essentially confirmed that he's coming back. He had a press conference today. He got up there, talked about the rehab process, essentially saying it's over. He practiced with pads yesterday. What's your expectation for Derrick Henry, and how much can he be like the old Derrick Henry?
I mean, I think he can. It all depends on how he feels. You know, everybody knows how physically strong he is, how physically, you know, tough he is, but it's all going to come down to the mental. I mean, I don't care how big and strong you are, you got to get past the mental aspect. And when I say the mental aspect is, on that first play, you try to cut hard. Are you tentative, or are you going to trust that leg, that ankle to hold up? So it's all going to depend on him, and I think he can do it. I don't want Todd Downing to get away from the script or get away from the identity of the offense. Run the ball and work off play action, and whoever's running the ball, if it's Hilliard, if it's Foreman, keep that guy in the game because he's hot. Because I just think that if you start getting off track and start doing different things and trying to force Henry to run the ball and you're behind the chains, that's a recipe for a disaster.
Who would you start, though? Because to me, I think a lot of people are thinking, okay, you know, go with Henry and then work in the other guys and don't, you know, use Derek the way Derek had been used
right.
before. I think they should just use Derek. I mean, I think they should use Derek the way they used Derek before he got hurt.
Right.
If you had a quarterback that was out and came
100%.
Back, you wouldn't say, well, you know, let's have the backup get in there for – you wouldn't
right.
do that. And so I think that they should just go with Derek for as long as Derek says he's
yep.
good, roll with Derek Henry. But I think a lot of people think, and you brought up the, hey, if Hilliard's running hot or Foreman's running hot, I don't think there should be like a testing out of the hot hand.
Yeah.
I think it should go to Derek. How would you ease him back in, or would you just say, hey, go take the ball, big fella?
No, this is what you – I mean, you made a perfect example. Who was a starting running back at the beginning of the season? Derrick Henry. So now Derrick Henry's back. He didn't lose the job because he was doing terrible. He lost the
sure.
job because he was hurt. So why not put him back in there? Now, once you put him back in there, Todd Downing is going to have to do a great job by putting him position to be successful. Don't give him the ball like four or five times in a row. Let him get his feet wet. See how he feels. Now, if he starts running a little tentative, which he's, I don't think he isn't, but just imagine if he is, then now you got to put Foreman in to relieve the pressure from Henry to feel like he's got to make a play. I mean, listen, they still did well with Henry not even there, so don't change the process. Even though we got Derrick Henry back, still stay with the program, still stay with the 12 play that you're going to run in the first or second series of the game. Just stay with the process, and I think you can be successful and find a hot hand if it's Hilliard, Henry, or a Foreman. Roll with it that way.
So, obviously, we know Chris Sanders is our guest. We know how confident you are that the Titans are going to win on Saturday. But if there was something that had to bother you, that you would say, okay, you know, this would worry me on Saturday, what would it be?
You said it about 2 minutes ago. It's Tannehill. I mean, if you come out and start making mistakes, start throwing interceptions and get hit and fumbled, and then also with special teams, you miss a field goal or you miss an extra point, or on special teams, you have Rodgers or Hilliard, you know, try to field the punt and they drop the ball in their deep, you know, and backed up in their territory, things like that. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. But if Tennessee Titans play their type of football on offense, hit you in the mouth, play physical, you know, stay in front of the chains on defense, stick the quarterback. Don't give up explosive plays on special teams. Make sure you make your kicks, and you know, don't do no crazy stuff by getting hit with the ball. I think the Tennessee Titans dominate this game on special teams, defense, and offense if they play consistent football.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, as always, he'll be with us at 1 o'clock for the pregame show on Saturday. Chris, appreciate you as always.
Yeah, I love you guys. Bye bye.
Yep, Chris Sanders, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration. I'll say this, I agree with Chris, and I don't know, you know, I haven't made my prediction yet or my final score.
With what?
But I agree that if the Titans lose, like, what's keeping me up about this game? Tannehill turning the football over.
And I think that's a very fair concern.
When they lose, Tannehill turns the football over. Two times a game. When they win, Tannehill turns it over not even one time, two-thirds of a turnover per game. So to me, I mean, Tannehill turning the football over. We went over the 2009 Ravens game, or the 2008 Ravens game when the Titans were the one seed. Titans fumbled the ball like four times, including once at the one-yard line, twice in field goal range, missed a field goal, went for it on a 4th and 8, fumbled the ball. I mean, they lost that game. The Ravens had one big play to D. Mace for a touchdown. And other than that, it was all Titan screw-ups.
And we've seen it so many times this year.
Yep. Speaking of screw-ups, ESPN Radio. Boy, that morning show that they have on ESPN Radio, they are coming after Tannehill, what they had to say, we'll get to that next. TriStar Moving, those are my official movers. I absolutely love TriStar Moving. They do a fantastic job, and I know this because they moved me about a year ago. And I know a lot of people hate moving. I'm certainly right there with all of you in the whole process. But when you've got friends like I do at TriStar Moving, they're going to make the process as simple as possible. And they're probably going to give you one of the best deals. So if you're looking to move, it's expensive. Take out bids. Get a bid from my friends at TriStar Moving. They offer home protection, so they cover your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, two great guys that are true Nashvillians, and they want to take care of the people in their city. So give them a call if you're looking to move, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmovie.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmovie.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. For my official movers, TriStar Moving.